My name is John Rinaldo, and today we're going to be talking about passing on a legacy of faith to your kids. And in particular, we're going to talk about the five moments of importance in the family life cycle and how we leverage those five moments of importance to integrate faith into who we are and what we do. And I guarantee you these five moments are moments that you deal with every day as a parent, because I know I deal with it every day as a parent. A little background. I've been married for over 12 years now at this point. I have three awesome children. I have a 10-year-old daughter, I have a 5-year-old daughter, and I have a 4-year-old son. And our life as they get older is getting crazier and crazier. Now, I don't have teenagers yet, but even so, we're busy. It takes everything in our power to make sure we have meals prepared on time, that we're going to bed at a normal time on a school night so my kids can get up early and get ready to go. We have activities. We have piano lessons. Before COVID, we had Girl Scout activities. My 5-year-old wants to keep doing gymnastics. And I told my wife the other day, I was like, oh my gosh, like, we're busy now and we don't even have teenagers yet. Oh, by the way, my wife and I are working as well. So we have to figure out all this stuff. Balancing home, balancing life, balancing raising kids, our marriage with work and everything else is a real challenge. But the reason I want to talk about this particular topic is that in that busyness, there is a place, there is an opportunity to pass on a legacy of faith. And here's the trap that we fall into sometimes as Catholics. We feel like we have to create all these extraordinary moments that are truly going to be like life-changing or something like that. Like, you know, and there are those moments. I'm not saying that there aren't those moments. But the real question is, how do you and I as parents find in our everyday life ways to insert God, to insert our Catholic faith, to insert the sacraments, to insert prayer? That's the key, right? We don't need to add extra things to our lives. But in the context of all the things that we are already doing, how do we do this? Now, let me just stop and say, I, John Rinaldo, am not at all perfect with this. It's trial and error, and we try things. And what worked for my 10-year-old doesn't work with my 5-year-old. And what works for my 5-year-old maybe doesn't work with my 4-year-old. Like, that's parenting, right? Every kid is different. I remember when I was a young youth minister in the Catholic Church, before I had kids, before I was married, I was a really good parent. Yeah, you heard that right. I had no kids, but I was a really good parent. And what I found myself doing as a youth minister is trying to provide guidance and advice for parents of the teens that I was ministering to. Now, I love teenagers, and I think I know a little something about adolescent development, but I can just imagine some parents looking at me like, who is this 22, 23-year-old kid telling me how to raise a teenager? Now, they were very gracious with me, and I think I still provided resources for them that were helpful. But it's funny that now that I'm 10 years plus into this parenting journey, how much more I learned and how much more I realized, wow, I did not know anything. The old joke is, you know, before I was a parent, I was a perfect parent, right? You know, it's like we think we know what parenting is all about, and then we have kids and we throw all that out the window. Well, today, I'm going to share with you from my experience of just trying to provide faith and do faith at home, right? Not always in church, not always in religious education, faith formation, not always in sacramental preparation, but how do we do some of this at home? Because that's really where faith starts. Now, before I talk about the five moments of importance in the family life cycle, let me just stop and say a couple things that I think you already know, but really frames the question for us. The research says this, we know this, parents have the primary influence over every facet of life for their children. Every facet of life, whether it's education, whether it's morals, whether it's ethics, whether it's work ethic, whatever it may be, of course, that also means faith, right? Parents are primary. So one of the things that we have to stop doing as parents is stop passing our kid off to the youth minister or to the children's faith formation director or the pastor or whoever else to do the faith stuff with them. We have to try to do some of this on our own, okay? Because the second thing is true. Research says this, we get what we are. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? I look back as much as I was like, no, I'm not going to be like my mom and my dad. Now as a 41-year-old, I'm sitting there going, I am so much like my mom and my dad. And the teenager in me goes, no, that can't happen. But the reality is I'm very much like my parents because the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I inadvertently pick up on traits, habits, things that my parents did for better and for worse, but that's just what happens. We get what we are. And here's the last piece that I think is important, and the Catholic Church really does drive this home. This is really important. Home is church too, okay? Church is not just about what happens at the church building when we go to Mass on Sundays or when we go to the sacraments or whatnot. Church is at home as well. We experience God mostly in the context of our intimate relationships. Let me say that again. We experience God in the context of our intimate relationships. What's more intimate than the relationship between spouses, between parents and kids and parents? All right, let's delve into this idea, the five moments of importance in the family life cycle. And all I want to do here is provide you some actionable ideas, maybe something that you can try tomorrow. That's my goal. Like, I want you to try some of this tomorrow. It's not going to be perfect. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be a little awkward for you, especially if you haven't done any of this yet. And that's okay. Okay, that's okay, right? But five moments of importance in the family life cycle. Okay, so here's the first one that I want to really drive home with you. Exits and entries. When the family leaves and the family returns home. These are key moments in our lives, right? You know, so you know, one of the reasons I try to get my kids up earlier than they really need to, besides me being a time person, I'm very much a time person, right? We say we're going to be there at 7 a.m., we're going to be there at 7 a.m., right? That's who I am, all right? I have to work on that, by the way, because kids don't work on that same schedule. But one of the reasons I get my kids up early is I want to make sure I have a smooth exit from the house for them. I don't want them to feel rushed. I don't want them to feel like, oh my gosh, it's all crazy, because when you've done this too, right? When you get up too late or your alarm doesn't go off, then you're frantic and it doesn't launch your day well, right? The exits, I think, are so important. I don't do anything extravagant with this. All I do is provide a little extra time for us to get up, get out the door, and to not do it screaming, complaining, get up, right? I've done that. You know, it's like, come on, get up. We got to get going. Have breakfast. Let's go. You know, we've had those moments. I think we've all had those moments, right? How do I ensure a smooth exit? Because that launches my kids out on their day. Now, my kids are in school and daycare, right? And so I want to launch them off in a place where they're ready to learn and grow as they go into these experiences. So those exits are really important. How do we do this smoothly? And one of the things, and this is the real actionable item for you, is what I do on our ride out the door in our car as we go is we pray. It's like a super short prayer. Like, I'm telling you, 5 seconds. Here it is. All right, kids, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm doing this as we drive to school or daycare or wherever we're going, right? Dear Heavenly Father, bless us this day. Keep us safe. Help us learn and grow. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's it. That's it. It's like 10 seconds of prayer. But the reason I do it is to inject in that moment, just that moment, that God is in our life, that God is in our day, that God is going to watch us. And that's an important part of our exit. Same thing with entries, right? What's the entry like when your kids come home, right? Is it, you know, oh, you know, quick, take off your shoes, hang up your backpack, you know, get out your homework. Have you done your homework? Oh, you need to go do your homework, right? The entries home need to be smooth and relaxing, right? Because home is where we should feel the most comfortable. Home is where we should feel welcome. And if the entry back into home is stressful, Well, then that has a negative impact on our ability to have a positive relationship with our kids. And I've learned this the hard way, right? And I still do it, right? Reese, get your homework out. You have homework to do because I have to sign off on it every day, right? Get your homework. Let's do this, right? You know, and I have to watch myself. I want that entry to be smooth because I always want home to be where the heart is, right? That old adage, which I think is so true. I want them to feel comfortable that this is where they belong. And those entries back home are important. All right, that's the first moment of the five moments, exits and entries. So let's talk about number two. The second moment of importance in the family life cycle is bedtime. Now, this is a simple routine that I've done with my kids for a long time now, right? We get them in their pajamas, we brush teeth, we do showers, we do all that stuff, right? The normal routine, right? But then what we do is we typically do story time, any story. I let them pick a story. Sometimes I don't want to do a story. Sometimes I'm like, all right, all three of you are getting the same story because I don't want to read three different stories, right? Okay. It's not about the story, but it's about having that moment together. It's intimacy, right? As we prepare for bed. So we read a story. And then I often, not every day, but I often read from one of the children's Bibles that I have, you know, that we have here at the house. I'll do from the toddler Bible for my youngest one. I'll do a children's Bible and read a small clip of the Bible. And we don't talk about it. We don't do a Bible study or anything like that. All I'm doing is injecting the Bible into story time so that they're getting to know the stories of the Bible. And I inject my favorite, right? 1 Samuel chapter 3, right? The calling of Samuel. I love that story. I love sharing that story with my kids, right? Of course, the creation story is a big one. Noah. And then after the Bible, we do a simple prayer. I lead a prayer, starting with the sign of the cross. And I pray a little prayer. Not any different than what I did in the car, right? Necessarily, right? But then I often ask my kids, it's like, what do you want to pray for? What are you thankful for? That's our rubrics for this is what are you thankful for? What do you want to pray for? And that's it. And we do it real simple. And then I do a blessing, right? I do that standard blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And I do a little sign of the cross on their forehead. And then I put them to bed, right? Just a moment of that. And I know some of you are uncomfortable with just praying randomly like that. But it's important that we do that and model it. A simple prayer. And if you're not comfortable with that, then end with a Hail Mary or an Our Father or Glory Be. And that's good too. I do that with my kids often, right? Sometimes we just end with that. But here's the key for bedtime for me. One of the things that I like to do is cuddle with them. And it takes time, and you know, I know, but I cuddle with all three of them individually. I climb into their beds, and some of them have bunk beds, right? So I'm on the top bunk with them, right? And I cuddle in with them, and I ask three questions of all of them. Now, my 10-year-old responds much better to these questions than, say, my 4-year-old. But these are the three questions that we take in couple time. What was your highlight of the day? What was your low light of the day? And sometimes we do those questions at dinner time as well. If I don't do it at dinner, we'll do it at cuddle time. But this last question is important. And this is from my Jesuit education, my Jesuit experience. This last question, where did you see God today? And here's the important thing. The answer is not important. The fact that I asked the question and that they're starting to think about it, that's what's most important. Because I want them to recognize that God is in their lives everywhere, all the time. We just need to look, which is sometimes really hard to do today in the day and age that we're in. But we just need to look. So what was your highlight? What was your low light? And where did you see God today? And I answer those questions as well. So I don't just make them answer and do that thing of the parents, well, they answer and I'm not going to answer, right? I answer that as well because I want them to know that I need to look for God. And sometimes the answer is, I don't know, and that's okay. Like, don't force them to have an answer where they saw God. Sometimes you just don't see God, and that is just fine. So that's bedtime. Car time. Let's talk about car time. That's the third important moment in the family life cycle, right? What I love about car time is that you have a captive audience. There's no distraction. Well, unless they got their earphones in or they listen to the radio or whatnot, right? Car time is an opportunity for conversations. Now, maybe not so much on the short ride, you know, to or from school, whatever, but longer rides. How do you connect, right, with them and just ask questions? And what's great about, especially with teenagers, I found this to be true with teenagers I've worked with. I don't have teens yet myself. but I found this true with the teens I've worked with, is the fact that while I'm driving, I can't make eye contact with them actually opens them up, because sometimes teenagers are uncomfortable with eye contact, and that's okay, right? But it opens them up to have a conversation, to answer your questions, right? And maybe you do your highlight and low light, like I do at bedtime, or maybe even a meal time, right? But I think those are important times, right? You have a captive audience. Turn off the radio, turn off the podcast, turn off whatever it is, and talk. And it doesn't have to be about faith. I'm not saying that. All I'm trying to do is build a relationship with my kids, right? And that's one of the ways that I pass a legacy of faith on to my kids, is I have a relationship with them. I think car time is so valuable. Let me talk about moment number four of the five moments of importance. Mealtimes. You guys saw this coming, right? But mealtimes are important. And I know in busy lives and busy families, although maybe during COVID, we were home a lot more, so we shared a lot more meals, but sometimes we don't get as many meals together. I don't care if it's dinner or breakfast or whatnot, but we need to sit down at the table together. That may sound old school, that may sound traditional, but the reality is it makes a big difference in the lives of our kids when we are together as a family. Now, I'm not at all suggesting every day. I'm in the phase of life with my family that we can do pretty much every day, unless one of us is traveling for work or something like that. That because my kids are young and they're not having super late activities. Again, there's no activities going on during COVID, so we've got a lot of time for it. But mealtimes are important, right? Pray at mealtime. Even if it's a standard Catholic blessing, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. But you know what? There's also a lot of fun little prayers and songs that you can do, right? We did one to the Superman theme. Thank you, Lord, for giving us food. Thank you, Lord, you're an awesome dude, for the food we eat and the friends we meet. Thank you, Lord. Amen. There are so many of those. You could probably YouTube, Google, Catholic prayers or prayer times for kids, meal times, whatnot, and probably find a whole bunch, right? We made one up to Baby Shark. I will not do that to you now because it will get stuck in your head, but we created a Baby Shark, right? Remember the Baby Shark song was popular, right? It's still kind of out there, but we created a prayer to it, right? The prayer time is important. The meal, bless our food, right? And I tried to just instill in my kids, like, this is a gift. The fact that we've got food every day, and that we have plenty of food every day, is a gift, because not everybody has that in the world, but even in the United States, hunger is a huge issue in the United States. I want my kids to know that, they're blessed, because we are. Meal times. And then I already said before, I sometimes do it during bedtime, sometimes during meal times. What were your highlights and lowlights? And just have those conversations together. Okay, number five, the fifth moment of importance, memory making time. Vacations, fun times, things like that. How do we make memories together as a family? One of the things I really try to do is we're intentional about trying to do vacations together as a family, and create some memories that way. That's important, right? My 10-year-old now, all she wants to do is travel now, because we've been able to expose her to some different places. We've been to Mexico. My mom lives in Mexico, so we go down there, right? We've had to travel some other places, and she wants to travel, and she can't wait to travel more, right? But even fun times, right? Just taking my kids to the playground is a huge memory for them. We're fortunate. I live in Las Vegas, Nevada. It gets hot here. We've got a swimming pool. The swimming pool is a memory-making time, and all it does is bring us together as a family. Those moments are important, right? It's about building connection, building intimacy. Now, those five moments again: exits and entries, bedtimes, car times, meal times, and memory-making times. Not all of those have to do with faith, but that's not the point, right? Some of those we can instill God and prayer into that, absolutely, and I'm going to do that. But some of it's just about relationship building. I want that, because the more you build relationship with your kids and have a positive relationship with the kids, the more I do that with my kids, the more likely they're going to take on what they see and hear from me as a Catholic Christian, as a Catholic man, trying to just do his best to live out his life and to be a good role model for his kids. And I take these five moments seriously. And I hope you take these five moments seriously well and try some of these things. I think you're going to find that you're going to see an impact in your family, in your lives. And again, it doesn't have to be perfect. Try them. It's going to be awkward at first. No problem. Try it. Make it happen. And this is one way that we can pass on a legacy of faith to our kids. I hope you found this helpful. I'm looking forward to continue to journey with you on this journey of faith as we continue to raise young children and young teens to be awesome Catholics. Take care.